Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn. And as those of you that have been listeners for quite a while realize that we started Hope Is Here back in December of 2017, just trying to help create awareness about mental health and be able to be comfortable and start conversations and try to reduce and eliminate people that life's end by suicide. And we had a program. We honored a friend of mine that his life ended by suicide back on January 23rd, Jim Howard, a Lexington native, and he was a pastor at Real Life Church. Just a great, great guy, helped a lot of people. And one of the things that happens when we die, we always have loved ones that are left behind. And he had a twin sister. And I'm especially partial to this because I have a twin brother and sister, not me, but a younger siblings that are twins, Mike and Missy, that are two of my best friends. And today, Don Drummond, Jim's twin sister, is going to be with us and over the next couple of days and just telling us about Jim and just sharing about this journey over the past almost 6 months and just how we can honor Jim and yet help others that are survivors. And maybe people that are just kind of struggling right now with their mental health. So, Don, first of all, just thanks for being here today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, Don, tell us about Jim. You guys are twins, so all of a sudden you're twins. You know each other really well, as I've learned from my younger siblings that are twins. But tell us about what Jim was like growing up.
Well, Jim was the older one. He was 10 minutes older. And even though we were twins, he kind of took on that older sibling role. He was the first one to walk and the first one to talk and the first one to read. And he was very much the outgoing twin where I'm more an introvert. Jim was always making friends with people, always on the go, even as a little kid. My husband and I were somewhere yesterday where there were two twins at some store, and one twin was just standing there quietly by the mom, and the other twin was kind of running in circles and touching everything. And I said, guess which one was Jimmy when we were little and which one was me? And so he was just, from when we were little kids, just always on the go, loved to do things, loved to laugh, loved to make people laugh. When he was little, he would do these different personas for me when I was upset to try to cheer me up and make me laugh. And that's just who he was. And that carried over into adulthood. After a year at UK, he decided he wanted to go into the ministry. So he went to CBC. Cincinnati Bible College, which, okay, I know that's not what it's called now.
Yeah, Cincinnati Christian University,
right,
I think,
right. And he became a minister, and his passion was youth ministry. He had really been impacted by Brewster McLeod, and Brewster had that kind of energy that Jimmy did. And so Jimmy appreciated seeing, hey, I could take this energy. My brother was ADHD, and he didn't get diagnosed until he was an adult, but he realized, I can take this energy, and I can use it, and I can engage kids, and I can get them to come to know the Lord and love the Lord. And so he was very passionate about that. In his 20s, he had some time where he had gotten married and then had gotten divorced and was fired from his position at the church. And so he had a period of time where he was really down on himself. I think he felt he let a lot of people down, as we all do when we go through some hard times. I think he thought he let God down, which was very hard on him. And so he had a period for about 2 or 3 years where he just kind of lost. And he found his way back to the church through helping with parking during Sunday service at a church. And just through that and starting to talk to somebody at that church, then he started being the person that was in charge of recreation at that church. And then he kind of got back into the church and really realized God's grace during that time. And God's grace, the just knowing that God loves you no matter what, and that you can be your total self, and that's enough. God loves you. And so he loved going around and sharing God's grace with everybody. He wanted everyone to know, no matter what, God loves you, you don't have to be a certain type of person to gain that love. So that was one thing that he loved going around and sharing. He's a big UK fan. We grew up in a house where that's what we did on Saturday. You know, we were raised right. So we grew up watching UK right. basketball.
You were Christians. You were exactly. Kentucky fans, right?
One of our first T-shirts that we got had Kyle Macy's face on it. Oh, wow. And we would wear it while we played basketball with our friends. And so he had a big passion for sports, but especially UK basketball and UK football, no matter where he lived, because he lived in several different states. He always was rooting for UK. And then, typical big brother, I'm a big Dallas Cowboys fan. So wherever he lived, whenever they played the Cowboys, I'd get a text, you know, hey, I hope whoever is playing us, you know, wins. So he always rooted for the other team. And always had to hear about that from him when team won. He was a little competitive. He played baseball growing up, so he was a competitive person, and that kind of spilled over into his adult life, too. But yeah. The biggest thing is just Jimmy always had a smile on his face, loved having a good time, loved laughing, and loved making other people laugh.
Yeah, he had a real gift for that. Mm-hmm. He just never met a stranger from the time I knew him at Southland, and just had a way of making people feel included and reaching out maybe to the, quote, least of these. Is that a fair
Absolutely.
Description?
The Ragamuffin Gospel, you know, he read that book. That hit him, definitely. There were some... After his death, there were people that got on the Facebook page for Real Life Church, and a lot of them said, I was worried about coming to church. I was afraid that I was the type of person that the church wouldn't want me there. And Jimmy talked to me and told me, no, you know, you're loved. You deserve to be here. And that they always looked for his face on Sunday morning and how welcome that he made them feel.
Yeah, he did. That was his gift. And, you know, there's people listening that you don't think, well, you know, I can't sing or I can't teach. But, man, but when you love on somebody or just touch one person, and especially on a Sunday morning at a church, or if you work somewhere, the new person, man, that's a gift, isn't it?
It is. It definitely is. You're showing that grace that you want them to understand that God gives as well.
Well, Jim used that gift at a really, really high level. When did he move to California? When was that?
So we kind of laugh about Jimmy kind of had a little gypsy spirit, we think. You know, he would like to move every 3 or 4 years. So once he got back into the church here in Lexington, he was working at Southern Methodist for a little while. And then he took a job in Jacksonville, Florida. And he was in Florida for about 4 years, I want to say, and that's where he met his wife, Christy. And then he moved from Jacksonville to Houston, Texas, the Sugar Land area, and was there for about 4 years, I believe it was. And then about 3 years ago, moved to California to the church in Santa Clarita, Valencia. And it was funny because my husband and I always joke, okay, well, about one more year, Jim's going to move again. It's about time for him
to
go. Kind of
like in college, he'll get 4 years
right,
in and
exactly.
Go.
I don't know if I should say this, the Rick Pitino of ministers. All right, I've done what I can here. Now it's time for me to move on to a different challenge.
I love it. Well, the other common denominator, I noticed all these are in nice warm spots.
Right.
Florida, Texas, California. I mean, you know, God calls us to places, but it's also nice when it's warm in the winter, right?
Exactly.
Well, that's great. Well, I know he had a big impact just seeing people share on Facebook, social media when he passed away. And he left a mark wherever he was because I think, once again, as you said so well, people knew he cared about him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what I think at the end of the day really matters. I heard John Maxwell say a long time ago, people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. And you definitely knew that Jimmy cared.
Yep, exactly.
Well, and that's why we wanted to honor his life today and talk, you know, from his twin sister. Obviously, nobody knew him better, but talk to us a little bit about, you know, what would that day when you found out that, you know, Jimmy was no longer with us and his life had ended. Share about that day.
Well, it was January 23rd, and I remember that day at work, I was having a really hard time, just not in a good mood that day, and I love my job. I'm blessed to have a job where I just go in every day, just happy to be there, loving it. And I just felt the best way I can describe it is just weird all day. Just weird, just kind of angry, quick to get angered. And I know in my life, usually when I'm feeling uncomfortable, just like all over uncomfortable, that means like God's about ready to move in my life. Mm-hmm. But that day I didn't think of it as that. I was just can't wait till this day gets over. I can go home, go to bed, try again tomorrow.
Start again.
So I had texted my husband. I was like, I don't know what's wrong with me today, but something's going on. I'm not feeling well. I'm going to put in for a sub tomorrow, and maybe if I go home and relax tonight, and I'll be okay, go back to work tomorrow. So I'd gotten home about 6 o'clock, and Rusty called my phone around 8 o'clock. And Rusty and I were friends when he was here in Lexington during our college days. And every once in a while, we might text a joke about UK, North Carolina. But it was odd to see his number. And so I didn't get to it when it rang. And so I listened to his message, and you could tell just by the tone of his voice it was something serious. And I automatically thought, oh, something's going on with Jimmy. You know, I'm mm-hmm. thinking a wreck, or you know, I don't know what.
Sure.
So I call him back, and I'm like, you know, Rusty, what's up? And so he tells me, well, Jim's killed himself. Mm. And it's one of those, like, my first reaction was, are you serious? Because I couldn't even.
Jimmy kidded a lot, played a lot of jokes. So
he did, and it just doesn't register.
And Rusty's kind of a joke. Right. Rusty's a lead pastor at Real Life, but served
itself. That they would do that now. That's something they would have maybe done in their 20s. But,
right.
And I just, I couldn't take that in. And mm-hmm. so it had to be a joke, right? So I said, are you serious? And he said, yeah. And then it kind of hit me. And I remember asking him how Jimmy had made a comment to me over Christmas about taking Ambien and taking the whole bottle. And if you ever thought about looking at the whole bottle, and because I take Ambien at night, and he had just started taking it. And he said, do you ever think about looking at that bottle and thinking I could just end it all now? And I said, no. But he was laughing and joking, so I didn't think he was being serious. But that comment had kind of nagged me. So I remember asking Rusty how, because that's what popped into my head. And he told me how he did it and that nobody could get a hold of my mom. So I got off the phone, told my husband, you've got to drive me over to my mom's right now. I've got to tell her she can't hear this over the phone. I knew this was going to break her heart. And on the way to my mom's, I called my sister and told her, and she said, well, this is going to break mom's heart. I want to be there with you. And so we got to my mom's house, and when we had knocked on the front door, she was on the phone with Rusty. So we had gotten there at least, so when he told her, we were there for her. And
so you kind of see God's grace a little bit there, exactly. You know, obviously an unbelievable, painful situation,
exactly.
But, you know, God showed up because you and your sister were able to both be there when she got that phone call. And
not just me and my sister, but about 10 minutes later, two of Jimmy's really good friends showed up at the house too.
Wonderful.
Rusty had reached out to them and said, at this point he hadn't gotten a hold of me.
Yeah.
So I can't get a hold of Dawn. I can't get a hold of Jim's mom.
Right.
So his two really good friends came over to the house too.
Wonderful.
And they had already told Brewster and Chris Hahn, and had already started talking about, well, when we do a memorial, you know.
Right. Well, I hate to cut you off, but Don's going to be back with us. We're going to share more about Jim's life and about what God's been able to help her as this healing process. So I hope you'll join us tomorrow as we continue our conversation with Don Drummond on Hope Is Here.